Blog Talk Radio.
Family, this is Leslie Gist, and you're listening to the Antique E Show. Tonight we have a very special guest. He is the CEO and director of Hidden History, Uriah Israel. Are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm feeling fine. Yes, I am. What about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. A little hurried, but glad to be here.
Well, let's start off telling the audience how we met.
We met at the Harlem Book Festival. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Harlem Book Fair, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And I was basically a vendor there, selling hidden history products.
Okay. I love the title of your company. I think it's fitting and very descriptive of what you're promoting. Now, Hidden History. Yeah. Tell us how you got started. The name. And basically, I know you said you're hurried. I'm curious. What does your name mean?
What does my name, my Uriah mean?
Right.
Uriah is a Hebrew name, coming from the Bible, and it's translated in English. It means fire or light of Yahweh, or Yahweh is light, or Yahweh is fire.
Okay. What is there a biblical story behind Uriah?
Yes, ma'am. Uriah was a officer in King David's army, and King David spotted his wife and placed Uriah in a position where he would be killed. And David took his wife Bathsheba. Now, Uriah was known for his loyalty to the Ark of the Covenant and to his men that were also in the field. So he would not, there was an opportunity that David, he wanted to actually bring him in and have him sleep with Bathsheba so he would not know of his wife's infidelity and the fact that, you know, that he had committed adultery. But Uriah would not, because he was so loyal to the Ark of the Covenant and his soldiers, he would not lay with his wife. And so union, yeah, that's very deep. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing the story behind your name. And it's a wonderful story. So Hidden History is the name of your company.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a tie between Hidden History and your name and your personality?
Wow, that's a loaded question. Yeah, absolutely. Well, my father named me that. My father was known for documenting history, his personal life. He was a collector of albums, music, books, memorabilia, paraphernalia from when he grew up, and I followed in his footsteps, and at one time published a magazine in Boston, Massachusetts called Scribe, which documented the events in the black community that you probably wouldn't hear in regular, and it was like an alternate news source before alternate news became really popular. And so I followed in his footsteps and basically began to document history and even publish history that I knew was being overlooked and even hidden a lot of times.
Right. Okay, now your calendar. Could you name some of the people that you feature in your calendar? And by the way, I have two of them. They're both in my classroom, and they were used during the Black History Celebration last February.
Which two do you have?
I have the Black Inventors.
Black Inventors? Okay. We actually have three. The Black Inventors is by far the most popular.
Okay.
I believe people want their children to learn more than about Martin Luther King. No disrespect to Martin Luther King or George Washington Carver, who are probably the most popular black figures in American history. But there is so much more to our history. I like to say this, Leslie, that America is doing disservice to its citizens by not letting its citizens know the history. And Hidden History, we plan to publish some of everybody's history. A lot of information is being hidden, and we plan to actually publish this. It's interesting. There's information on science. There's information on different inventors. You know, the question is, what made George Washington Carver such a great inventor? What even made Thomas Edison a great inventor?
Let's talk about Louis Latimer.
What about Louis Latimer? I'm just saying that there are character traits that need to be shown to our children, to our adults, so that we can move forward. And right now, they're not being shown. And so, Hidden History, that is our job.
Now, do you have a companion video to go along with your calendars?
We are working on it.
Okay.
We are working on a read-along DVD, and that's in the works. I'm just going to say that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'll say before the next book fair in Harlem, we should have that ready.
Okay. Can you share some of the people that you featured in your calendar? I like Matt Zwingler.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you talk a little bit about him?
Yes, ma'am. Jan Ernest Metzlinger. I think that's who you refer.
Yes, I put Matt. Go ahead.
He was born in Dutch Guinea and moved to Massachusetts, where he revolutionized the shoe industry by taking parts of machinery. First of all, he taught himself English. That wasn't his native language. But he taught himself, he actually built this machine using spare parts of the machine, cigarette boxes, all kind of little gadgets. And he created a machine that could actually sew together the parts of a shoe. Now this is an awesome story because the shoemakers were a very powerful guild at this point, and they didn't really want to see their industry, taken over by machines. They felt that, we want to have control over this. We want to have this power, and with, of course, with his power came great wealth. But Metzlinger actually created a machine that worked just like fingers and sewed the parts of a shoe together. He revolutionized the shoe industry, and also, made a lot of other people probably very wealthy from his. The sad thing about Metzlinger is he died very early, and I'm probably speculating that it wasn't an accident how he died of you know, I think they said smallpox is what he died of. And I mean, this is an awesome story.
How did you learn so much about this story? I only recently learned about it watching a video. But it wasn't that much in depth as far as you're going into the story. How did you learn so much about the story?
Well, you know, in the process of creating these calendars, I did a ton of research, and I found a lot of information, and like some of the information I just shared with you came from that research.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. There is a video I'm going to send to you. It's called Making It Happen, Masters of Invention.
Yes, ma'am.
I hope that you
If I scroll down.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Leslie?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Granville T. Woods.
Granville T. Woods. Okay, Granville T. Woods is called the Black Thomas Edison. He's an inventor of many inventions that we use today, and one of the main inventions is a third rail that you see in all major cities that have a public transit system. One thing I found out about Granville T. Woods, this is kind of interesting, is that I found out, now there's conflicting information, I think that he's really not African-American. They say that he was actually an aborigine from Australia.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
But being in America and looking the way he looked, he was lumped, you know, along with all his contemporaries that worked at that time, including Louis Latimer. He worked with different people. He was recognized as a colored man, and that's who he associated with.
I guess if you have color, you're considered a colored person, because that's what they called it back then.
Yes,
you have color, you're colored. Anyone else?
I would like to talk about?
Yes.
You mentioned two videos, and I like to mention two myself.
Okay.
There's one person in my, there's only one woman in our Black Inventors calendar. I'm working on a project that will feature Black women of science. One inventor everybody should be very aware of is Madam C.J. Walker. Now, there's a video about her life called $2 and a Dream.
Okay.
$2 and a Dream.
PBS?
This video, I'm trying to figure out where I actually bought this on a street corner in New York, so I don't know. But what I can do is I can make sure that you get a copy of it.
Oh, okay, yes. I would love to have it. Now,
okay.
Who is Madam C.J. Walker? You know, it's funny. I listened to Michael Baisden in New York, because you live in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, I live in Atlanta. I was born and raised in Boston.
Okay. Do you get Michael Baisden?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He was really talking badly about the African-American hairdressers, and I called up and defended them, and I mentioned Madam C.J. Walker, and I was so disappointed that he didn't even know who she was. Could you tell our audience who Madam C.J. Walker is?
Okay, Madam C.J. Walker was born in 1867, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, I believe. She was poor, and she actually created an empire, black hair care products empire in the United States, the Caribbean, South America. She created this gigantic empire for black women's hair care. One thing about her, one thing that everybody should know, is she's the first self-made woman millionaire in the United States.
She was the Oprah Winfrey of that era.
Yes, she was. And the video, if any of the audience, you can probably Google it and look for it. It's called, and I'm going to see what I can do about getting it to you, is $2 in a Dream. All the different people that worked with her spoke about her character and that she was selfless. She didn't, her drive was to create something that black women could be proud of. Because she, before she became black hair care entrepreneur, she was doing laundry for white people. And so she wanted to create something that would make people proud, her people proud, black women proud. And, you know, that's what her drive was. It wasn't, she didn't start off saying, I'm going to be rich. Her drive was, I want to be self-sufficient, of course, but I want something that black America, black women especially, can look up and be proud about.
This may be a little bit off topic, but while we're talking about black hair products, what do you think about Chris Rock's film on black hair?
I haven't seen the film yet.
Just looking at the preview and the subject and, you know, everything that he's talking about, what do you, how do you feel about his film about black hair and knowing what you know about Madam C.J. Walker?
You know, this goes to the root of the problem. This is one reason why I began publishing what I publish, because many times we will start an industry, but we don't finish it. And today, this black hair, this whole thing, this you know, we started this. Now today, I want to say this, just to add on to what you're saying about Chris Rock. The Koreans run, when you go to any neighborhood, you find a Korean hair store that sells mainly to black people. And it wasn't always like this. Now, the hair thing, wow, that's a loaded question.
How do you wear your hair?
Hair is natural. Yeah, my hair is natural. My wife's hair is natural. You know, we're not, I guess it's a self-assurance thing. We just feel good about ourselves, and we don't need to. My wife doesn't work, and she's a housewife, so she doesn't have to cater to anybody's style, idiosyncrasies.
Insecurities.
Insecurities. She doesn't have to, like, look, think she has to, she's very pretty, but she doesn't have to conform to anybody else's beauty standards to compete in rat race corporate America. So she doesn't have to wear anybody else's hair to make herself feel good.
Now, do you have any daughters?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I have one daughter. She's 5 years old, and she hasn't yet come to that point yet. But I guess one day, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I feel that the hair thing is a self love issue, and this is what this is what we need to overcome is self. I feel that sometimes we don't like ourselves, so we work hard to change what we look like to conform to somebody else's beauty standard.
Now, how does your calendar help solve that problem?
Well, my calendars raise awareness and raise our esteem about who we are. You know, I'll share a story with you. When I was young, my mother was a very proud woman. She was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And she was, you know, they were sharecroppers. She told me, she said, this is how, you know, this is what we did. And so, but they moved to Boston, Massachusetts, and she worked various jobs. And but she was very proud. And I used to say, Ma, why are you so proud? You know, she took me to the library, got me a library card, and she said, look, you know, there's a section over here on all the history. And I, from that day, I was about 10 years old, I began to dig through those books and find the facts about why we, why she was so proud. And today I can understand why she walked and acts the way she does.
Well, that's awesome. So if I were to go visit your mom, what photographs of images would I see on display in her home?
You would see a lot of images from her past, chatting the pictures of family, her mother, her mother's mother, you know, different things like that. There's always images of our self on our walls. We didn't have, I loved how I looked. She loved how she looked. And she definitely conformed to that. She loved. And that's where I get it from. She loved our people. And she just loved herself. It's normal to love yourself, isn't it?
It is. And
okay.
I think what you're showing us by sharing the story is that before you can love black people, you first have to love yourself. And
you
then
love
from
yourself.
Loving black people, you can love the entire human race.
Yes.
But it starts within. And it's nice to hear that, you know, that she has pictures of everyone in the family, like, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it's a natural transition to grow from loving yourself to loving the family and then loving the entire human race. But if we don't start with self, it's very hard to extend that love beyond, you know, our inner person. But
right.
Let's get back to your calendar, some more of these adventures. Who is one of your next favorite inventors? We talked about Granville T. Woods. We talked about Madam C.J. Walker. You have 14 different inventors in your calendar. You want to go through some of them?
Sure. I'll say this. One of my favorites is Dr. Vivian Thomas. Now, there's two movies about his life. He's actually kind of like a overlooked genius by black Americans, by America, period.
Is he the one featured in the movie about God? The title was something related to God?
Something the Lord Made.
Yes, I've seen that movie. Go ahead.
Okay, and he was in that movie, Most Deaf played the role of Dr. Vivian Thomas. It's profound. Every American should see that movie, and especially our children should see that movie. In that movie, a young man was saving money, but the banks failed and took all of his savings that he was going to use to go to medical school. And so he ended up struggling, had a wife, children, but he still had this dream of working in the medical industry. One day he was hired to work as an assistant for a white doctor, Blaylock. And from there, he began to experiment. You know, he lived in a world, it's funny because even though he was black, he didn't think like that. He just thought of himself as a doctor. But they didn't, you know, America didn't see him as such, and they treated him very badly, just like, you know, they tried to break him. But he was, you know, just a genius in his field.
So what was his contribution?
His contribution is that he created a method of surgery that tackled a heart defect. This defect affected thousands of children, stunting their growth and leaving them with a bluish cast to their skin. Dr. Thomas, while working at Hopkins College created this method to fight this. The problem is called the Blue Baby Syndrome, and he devised a surgery to correct that. And see, the doctor who he was working for, Alfred Blalock, he could not do this. See, Vivian Thomas had the dexterity and skill needed to do this. His fingers, you know, he had a gift from God, and so that's why the movie when the doctor, you know, like looked at his work, he exclaimed, "My God, this is something that the Lord made," because he recognized the God in Dr. Vivian Thomas.
Now, he's not the only one that was very successful with working with the heart and blood transplant. Wasn't there another black inventor?
Yes, ma'am. There are several. You have...
Who comes to mind as far as another doctor? We have the one, the gas mask.
Yes, ma'am. That's Garrett Morgan. That's right. Yeah, he created. Now, you know something that's very interesting about Garrett Morgan is that while he was promoting his inventions, Garrett Morgan was very crafty. But while he was promoting his inventions, he portrayed himself as a Native American, so that people wouldn't be deterred from buying his invention because he was black. He recognized that America had many obstacles for black people, so he would portray himself as a Native American. I think that's very interesting. Some of the other doctors that you talked about as far as like heart surgery, Dr. Daniel H. Williams, and also Dr. Charles Drew, who helped find like the blood plasma solution.
Charles Drew. He's featured in your calendar?
He's featured in the 2010 calendar. I added some more inventors to it. Let me see. Yeah, Dr. Daniel H. Williams, Dr. Charles Drew, and Norbert Willew are in the latest version of the Black Inventors Calendar.
Now, how do you, you know, I know that you have so many inventors to choose from. How do you decide which ones you're going to keep and which ones?
That's a very good question. Some, you know, I find that some of these inventors don't have illustrations. And so I have to find people who have good illustrations, and then it's also the image. And so I look at their experience. I try to see what kind of my thing a lot of times is about the character of the person. What did they have to go through? And they all had very interesting struggles and obstacles in their way. But they succeeded.
Now, I love your calendars because you have a lot of information, at least I would say 300 words for each person.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad that it's becoming real popular to produce these types of calendars, but many of them I found only have one byline or caption, and that would be it. But I like the way that you go into depth with each person, and I'm just so happy that we met at the Harlem Book Fair and that we're still in touch, because I have them posted in my classroom and in my house, and they really generate a lot of interest. The students love them, they read them, and it's a great thing to have in your house. Now, as far as other inventors, are there another set of inventors? You mentioned you want to feature women.
Yeah, I'm doing research on that now. I'm just, like I said, there is so much there's just so much about history that, you know, the average person doesn't know about, all children do not know about. And Inventors is one segment,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just so much. I'm looking at even people from NASA. Trying to think, I cannot remember her name. She was a female astronaut, black woman, Mae Jemison.
Right.
And like,
right.
there are other people that worked at NASA that we don't know anything about. You know, we think of space and we have this image of a white male, or you know, doing all these things, having this scientific fun.
I can't remember the gentleman who was in the Challenger, or on the Challenger when it
exploded. Come on, Ronald McNair.
Right, that's who comes to mind when you
yeah.
talk about NASA. But
yeah.
that would be an excellent topic for a calendar. And what about historically black schools?
Excuse me?
Historically black schools.
Ooh, I'm writing this stuff down now.
Oh, you know, I've been thinking like this for a long time, and I really want to work with you on a few ideas that I have. But historically
okay.
black schools, I think it's a
wow.
is something that you need. And for students who are considering going to college, I think you can market it to anybody that's promoting education.
You know something, Leslie? That is a we're going to talk about that after the show. That is an incredible idea. And
I'll send you something. I'll send you a
okay.
bunch of illustrations through YouSendIt.com.
Yes,
are you familiar with that program?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll send you a very large file with a bunch of
okay.
illustrations of historically black
right.
colleges, and you can get started on that this week. And and we'll work, you know, we'll put a link on each one of our websites. What is your website?
www.hiddenhistorypublishers.com.
Now, how did you start the company?
Oh, man, that's a powerful. You know something? Before you called me, I had to pull up this article. When I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, there was a woman here who was put out a petition to the Georgia state legislator, the Georgia state, that she wanted to have the accomplishments of black people in the textbooks. She said, like, look, we need to add these accomplishments. Of course, they shot her petition down. And so I said, you know, I have two different articles from two different Atlanta publications. One is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and the other one is from a smaller paper. But I always keep these in my portfolio because this is the reason why. I feel bad when our people expect another race to actually publish books that will help our children, because we all know there's a competition between the races. It's only natural. So, like, when you know, you watch sporting events and you cheer for the person that looks like you and the other person that looks like, you know, is white or Irish or French or Chinese, they cheer for their people.
Right.
And so we are competitive amongst ourselves, and they're not going to publish the books that will make your child shine, that will lift your child up. That's our job. And so I actually, that year, this article came out in 2005. I began Hidden History in 2006. And that was the first Black Inventors calendar that I published, and I've been going strong since then.
Now, what did she say, this lady who complained and had this petition? What did she say once you gave her a calendar?
I have never met her.
Well,
I have never met her.
You haven't given her a calendar yet? She hasn't.
I have not met her. I went to the museum that she worked in Atlanta called the Apex Museum. I wonder if it's all right to say that. But I went there, and that day that I went there, she was not there, and we kept missing each other. I recently asked her to be a friend on Facebook, and I haven't received a response. I even wrote the whole story out in my comment to her. And I'm reaching out, and I guess there's a time and season. There's a time for everything. So I'm waiting, and Eventually, I will meet her.
Now, are you promoting your calendars at all the museums? Are you going there and asking them?
Yeah, I'm working on it. That's where I'm at right now, is just marketing, understanding marketing. You know, I jumped out with my heart and did not fully understand the marketing piece of this. I began to promote myself with the black bookstores. But, you know, as I began to develop my product, I realized I need to have a better understanding of marketing it. Because there are some places, black bookstores, there are not that many of them, you know. And so I'm working on a marketing piece.
Well, to help you out, if you go to my website, thegistoffreedom.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Did I send you a link?
Yes, I have it. I've been to your website.
Okay, there is a page on there, museums. And if you go to the museum page, I list all the ones I could find in the United States, African-American museums.
All right.
So that's a place you can start.
Okay.
I'm excited about your calendar. I think your company is going to explode. I think we are desperate and hungry. Starving for something like you're providing us. It was just a wonderful experience to see your calendar, and I purchased it, but I wrote down the wrong name. I had the wrong people for about a year. I was contacting the wrong people, and I made friends with them, but when they told me they didn't have the calendar, I was like, wow, I thought you were the one with the calendar, but it's all good. Your calendar is remarkable. You said 14 inventors. Can you just name some of the names again?
Some of the inventors?
Yeah.
I can start from the very beginning. The first person is Benjamin Banneker. Elijah McCoy.
Can you give us a little brief little snippet about each person? Because when someone downloads this show, and I hope many children will hear it, I want them to get a free education from Professor Uriah Israel.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Benjamin Banneker was known for his astronomy work. He was also a surveyor. He was a mathematician during a time where the average black person was probably in slavery. He had the opportunity. He was a free-born black, and he actually helped lay out the city of Washington, D.C.
And this was around what era?
And this is around, this is
1700s, right?
Yeah, 1700s. He was during the colonial period of America, and he was a publisher. He was a scientific publisher in this age. This was a time period, like I said, the average black person, first of all, wasn't free, and then they reading and writing and doing like high level mathematics was unheard of. So he stands out. Matter of fact, the United States.
It's more unheard of during this generation than it was then.
Wow, I guess I found out too. See, a lot of these inventors, too, I like to say this, too, they were like, they had 360 degrees of knowledge and, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, they played music. They were artists. They were well-rounded people. And so, me and you, as homeschoolers and teachers and, mm-hmm. and parents, we want to make sure that our children are well-rounded.
Right.
They're into the science, but they're also musicians. They're also physically active. They know about their body. They know about the world. They know history.
Nutrition.
They know geography. They know nutrition.
If you look at the curriculum of some of the first HBCUs, you will see a well-rounded curriculum.
That's
and you know Booker T. Washington, he is attacked, especially by Du Bois followers, for promoting and pushing that well-roundedness, whereas his students to see it all and to grow from the very, very bottom with humility to being the most educated. So I see what you're saying, and when I look at the curriculum, I see astronomy, horticulture, farming. We see the sciences. So you're right about the education in that generation was very, very serious, and it encompassed everything under the sun. So if you were in school for 12 years, I think it's, you're in school long enough to touch on a lot of different subjects, not just three.
Right, right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. And who was another? Let's talk about your next inventor.
Well, the next person in my calendar is Garrett Morgan. We talked about him briefly. Yes, ma'am.
And he was the inventor of?
A gas mask.
Okay.
And traffic signal. You know, he also, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but he also created a hair straightener in the early part of his career. You know, he just, see, these guys were like, see, they were entrepreneurs in the true sense of the word. They would find solutions for different problems, and then they would plant and begin to produce these things. So this is something that our children need to understand, that when you do have a good idea, you know, package it, you know, make sure, you know, test it, and actually plan to produce it yourself.
Right. Instead of being consumers, we need to be producers.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We're down to our last 4 minutes.
Okay.
You have, who do you want to talk about or what subject? Your show.
I like to say, one person that really needs to be examined by our children is George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was a multi-talented super genius. He was one of the top three inventors this country has ever produced. He revolutionized and saved the southern economy, the agriculture economy. He saved it with his knowledge about rotation of crops. He introduced crops that the average farmer in the South would not even, didn't grow. And then on top of that, he created an industry to help them sell those crops. He was a master musician. He was a painter. You know, this guy was a teacher. He was offered $100,000 to work at Thomas Edison's plant. Well, $100,000 a year was unheard of back in that day. He turned it down to continue to work with his people because he knew, and it was instilled in him that he must always go back to his family and help. He had to reach down and bring somebody up.
Where did he work? What school?
He went to Tuskegee. The school founded and created by Booker T. Washington.
Okay.
That's where.
And
he, that's
aren't
where.
They still studying his research to find out how they can apply his research to today's fuel problems that we're having?
Yeah. They're using a lot of his, you know, I'm looking at people, they're talking about green this and green that. George Washington Carver was like a father of that concept. He believed nothing should go to waste, absolutely nothing. And so, like, this green movement, he was one of the founders of that movement. He grew everything. I mean, he created paints and dyes and you know, all kinds of oils. And he used a peanut. He created plastics. You know, they found that a plastic, they use what we consider weeds to make a synthetic rubber. Mm-hmm. This man, his mind was infinite. And he's one of the people, you know, the United States, you know, you can tell when the United States recognizes the value of somebody when they created a stamp for him. Him and Booker T. Washington, they created stamps for them. They were the first black people on stamps in the United States. This is how valuable his mind was. You know, not how far he could jump, not how high he could, you know, but his mind. This is, and also during a period where you had segregation and racial hatred, they proved how valuable they were through their works.
That's an excellent point. Our show is now over. We're about to end. Could you just tell the audience how to reach you?
I can be reached at www.hiddenhistorypublishers.com. And also, you can find all my my phone information is also on that site. You can even email me at Uriah@hiddenhistorypublishers.com. And is it all right to give out a number?
Sure.
Okay, my number is 404-370-0980.
Okay. Thank you, Uriah. We will be in contact with one another. I'll be sending you some illustrations tonight. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Leslie. God bless you. And I hope that, you know, stay strong and courageous. You're doing an excellent job. I'm glad that I have met you.
Oh, thanks again. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.